Welcome back to the Android App Addict Show. This is episode 435. You've got a duo of hosts. I don't know if we're dynamic. Our range might be dynamic on the audio file. We might have good dynamic range. We might have, you know, lossless quality. We always have lossless quality. At least Dor does. So anyway, welcome to the show. It's just Dor and I. And I'm Eric, and he's Dor, and Mark's not here. He is in the middle of changing towns and changing houses, so we'll let him do some unpacking, or packing, either whatever he's at this week. Dor, how you doing, brother?
I'm going to say I'm doing okay. My oldest son graduated, quote-unquote, elementary school.
Eighth grade, then? Sixth grade.
I
was just wondering, do you have junior high after that?
Yes, he just graduated elementary school, so he graduated fifth grade. To the people over the pond, that means he just turned 11 years old. He has a yearbook. The hell, he has a yearbook. He has a yearbook. So he asked very nicely. He didn't even ask. He just kind of insinuated how he thought it would be cool. So fine, whatever, we'll give you one. $25 later, he brings home what amounts to a pamphlet. Okay, this is not a yearbook, but whatever, okay. But there's plenty of pictures in it, and there's lots of pictures of him in it. But then I page through, and I find his picture. And because he's quote-unquote graduating, he can put a little message next to his picture. Unbeknownst to me, this is what the message says. When I grow up, I want to be a software engineer.
Nice.
My favorite activity is physical education. I will always remember that my brother is annoying.
So you'll always remember, and they're expecting you to say the day Miss McGillicuddy took us to the prairie for that field trip.
Right, or something like that. But no, he said, when they asked, what are you always going to remember? I'm going to remember my brother's annoying. No. We mean, what is it about the school that you're always going to remember that my brother's annoying?
I read that, and I laughed, right? At first, I didn't realize that was your son. I just thought that was like some random IM imager that you picked. Because Dor at least three times a day sends me a random picture of something or a GIF of some sort. So I just figured that was just something he found. You know, it's either that or it's some, you know, person who can't fit through a door or some kind of weird sign at a coffee shop. then I look at him like, oh, that's Billy. All right. Like, and I gotta say, Dor, attaboy. The kid's expressing himself. He's funny. He knows he's funny with that. He knows that's awesome.
I'll say he looks exactly like me. So hopefully, you know, things get better for him when he's older. You know, so I love the boy, but I don't know how far he's going to make it. And I never, ever, ever, ever told him the two words software engineer. That's all I'm going to say. After watching Silicon Valley.
Does he watch it?
No, he better not be. There's nothing age-appropriate about that show.
That's true. Yeah, that's...
Whatsoever.
I keep forgetting about the landlord's habit. Never mind.
So I don't know where he got it from, but he's obviously already a nerd, and he's obviously already my son.
That's God true. No DNA test required.
No DNA required at all. Look at that picture, man. Ain't nothing like that. Okay, I'm going to put a link here in the chat really quick to Eric. I did get a piece of quote-unquote hardware, but it's different. It's not what you're thinking. Okay, it's called Zoo Charge, and it is Z-U-O Charge. And if you're watching the video feed now, all you're seeing is a little tiny device that's folded in half, micro USB on both ends, because that's the one I got, because I'm not an Apple guy. I'm a Android guy. It's held together with magnets. So it's supposed to go in like your key chain or your key ring. And then it basically pops apart and you have micro USB on both sides. This can basically make any Android phone charge any other Android phone.
I like that the one micro USB sticks out farther because there are devices that need that.
Right. Right. Well, the gimmick is the long one is the one where it's getting the power from. The short one is where it's setting the power.
Oh, so it only goes one direction then, like that.
I'm 99% sure that's what it is.
Okay. Well, that's good because my battery charger. Oh, no, that's not good. Right. Okay.
Okay. It was $10 I bought it basically on a whim just because I thought it was interesting. And the very first day I had it in my pocket, it came into use. Because me and my wife and kid were at Six Flags, amusement park, and my wife's phone was near dead. I didn't have a battery pack on me, but my phone was over 70% charged. So I just took this, plugged one end into my phone, the other end into her phone, put them both in my pocket. And about 20 minutes later or so, she had about a 30% charge. I had 50% charge, unplugged them and said, here you go.
That's, yeah, nice, dude. Especially comes in nice and handy if, say, somebody doesn't have a charger and you, okay, well, for instance, so I got USB-C on this. So the cord that I'm carrying doesn't work with hardly anybody else's phone. Well, never mind. That's not going to work anyway because I still got USB-C. I was thinking, well, maybe I could charge a Samsung off my phone, but I can't with that unless I have the adapter, which I do have a little adapter that's just goes straight from, you know, micro USB to micro USB over to USB-C. Because if I had that in my pocket as well, then I could charge somebody's phone off of mine. But yeah, no, that's good. If you got some juice to spare and somebody else doesn't.
Right. Or you have a tablet or something else.
Yeah, you could use a tablet as a huge battery brick.
So $10 might be a little bit expensive for what it is, but I'll say this, it works good, very easy. I like the fact that it has magnets on it. I can just hook it up to my keychain and just leave it there until I need
it. So the colors that you get to choose, that's the color of the cord. The ends are always white.
Okay. Yes. And I got a midnight black just because it ain't blue.
So I was wondering why you got a white one at first, but I see how it's just the color of the cord changes. Neat. That's a cool idea. Now, did you do this off of like Indiegogo or anything, or how did you?
No. About a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I just saw it online. It was on sale for like $10. Where now I think it's like $12 or $13. And just bought it on a whim.
Are you going to keep it with your keys? Are you going to keep it on you somehow?
Oh yeah. So put on my keys, and then if I need it, I'll have it there.
You could save somebody's day with that thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm only worried about my kids and my wife.
Oh, no hero to a random stranger, huh?
Nope.
All right. So, hey, we missed the show yesterday because you weren't feeling good. For you guys listening live or whatever, we record this show on Thursday night live. So in case you've never joined us, just go to podnuts.com/live and you can watch us do it live on Thursdays. But we also record the mini PC show on Wednesdays, and Dor was a little under the weather yesterday. What's going on, Dor? I mean, I don't mean to be a HIPAA violation or anything, but you okay, brother?
Yeah, just tired. Normal work-life stuff, just, okay. After being in the same place for 20 years, it kind of, wears on you.
I can only hope that I get to say I know what you mean. I've never been anywhere close to 20 years.
I hope you don't.
I know. I want to keep this job for 20 years, and all I got to do is win 5 elections to make that happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that'll happen, though. I always have the feeling that I'll probably just get thrown out of office if I don't do a perp walk for some trumped-up charges of some sort.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just tell people when they ask me about getting them a job, no, because I like you. So go someplace else.
Okay, enough personal stories. They didn't come here to listen to us belabor. They want to hear what kind of apps they should put on their phone and tablet this week. And Dor, what is the first thing you would suggest they should be playing with on their phone this week?
It literally changes every week. What I'm going to say this week is Morton, I believe, is in AAA, in the Podnuts Android App Addicts chat, asked a question. And I found it very interesting because I looked months ago. What he's looking for is an app where he can stream video to his TV, but have the audio not go over the TV, but instead go over like Bluetooth headphones or something. Months ago, I looked and I looked and I could not find anything that said it did it. This time, I literally just went into Google Play and I put in Chromecast video local audio, something like that. And literally like 2 or 3 down, I saw this one called Localcast for Chromecast/DLNA. And then I read the description. And if you go, there's a long, long descriptions. And then a little bit down, it says wireless headphones. It's only in beta. He said, touch route audio to phone on the now playing screen to listen to what you are watching on your phone. this feature is in beta. It might work most of the time. So it's still new. It's still testing phase. But this is, to me, like the dream of being able to have my phone sitting next to me, have my headphones in my ear, stream video to my Chromecast, to my TV at all hours of the night when everyone else is asleep. And then I can clearly hear what I'm casting without any issue, instead of having to worry about getting the audio out of the TV and into my ears.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I want to thank Morton for bringing this up. And hopefully this does the correct thing. I literally just found it today. If you go look at the posting on Google Plus, it was literally posted Thursday the 16th. So I'm going to test this puppy out, and hopefully it works as advertised.
I could even see this with it. I think I talked about it last week. I got a little Pico projector. And, you know, the Pico projector's got a good sound coming out of its speaker, but I'm thinking if I'm outside, the Pico projector would be somewhere between myself and whatever I'm projecting it onto. I could sit back, plug my audio into another external speaker that I'm sitting right next to. And when I read Morton's comments, I started thinking about this. Or I could Bluetooth the sound over to a better speaker, too, that's back by my ears. So I'm just hearing it. I'm not blasting the sound out through the whole neighborhood or whatever. And I could just have a speaker back by where I'm at, and then still watch a big screen, kind of like a drive-in where you're listening to your car radio, but you're not, you know, they're not blasting it out to the whole area.
Exactly. And I'll say real quick side note, 3 weeks ago, when I found out I could not use my Google Play credit towards hardware, I did go and buy a Google Chromecast. Okay, the Chromecast I had upstairs was the round one with the hard piece of plastic sticking out, looking like a key shaped. Okay, what I got in the mail this time was literally just a circle with a folding piece that goes behind with a magnet on it. So it's completely different shape and form factor Chromecast, which made me realize.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I like that they have really the circle in the life cycle with the HDMI, like it's almost on a cord. So if your TV's set up a certain way, you don't have to run into your wall with a HDMI dongle. Sometimes would run into a wall if your HDMI port was sticking straight out the back. That gives you more flexibility because then you can dangle it down off that cord and it can just kind of hang there, right, Dor?
Well, yes, and I do believe that there's a little bit different firmware and stuff running on the newer Chromecast.
I was wondering.
Well, I can tell you, the screen did look and act a little bit different. When I hard reset my old Chromecast, it acted completely different than this factory fresh one did. Because the first thing this one did, when I plugged it up, it went through like a minute and a half, a 2 minute video showing you how to use Chromecast. You know, all you need is a phone, all you need is a tablet, and you can just do this and do this and do this. When I reset the old one, it just stupidly says, "Here's your 4-digit code, dummy."
I gotta say, I've had a Chromecast for a long time. I've never hard reset my Chromecast ever.
Well, I can tell you, so far with this one, I see completely night and day differences. One thing I do notice is the old one could not see the 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. Okay. And I know 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi is insanely faster, much shorter range, but much faster wireless. And I can now tell you, on the TV, I don't get interruptions. I don't get dropouts. The Chromecast just works.
And if there was any complaints that I've heard about the Chromecast, and I'm talking about the original, was in a larger house, sometimes the Chromecast antennas in there weren't strong enough to pick up a Wi-Fi signal and keep it constant. Hopefully that's something that maybe they fixed with the new design too.
Yeah, so hopefully even tonight when I'm done recording this show, post-producing the Patreon stuff, because I do that immediately when the show ends, I'm going to go upstairs and check it out, the new Chromecast with this local cast for Chromecast/DLNA. See if I can listen to the audio on my phone and watch it on the TV.
Cool. That's cool. And that is called, I want to rehash this because so I want to listen to it again and hear it. Local cast for Chromecast/DLNA is the name of this app.
Yeah, by Stefan Padel, PLEDL. E for everyone, completely free to install. There is some kind of in-app purchase. And I can tell you right now, if it does what it claims that it does, I don't care. Shut up and take
my
money.
Says the in-app purchase would remove ads. And it pro version currently no ads. It gives you search device only. So you can search your own device, I guess. video preview when seeking on the now playing screen. So if you're like fast forward and rewind, maybe get to see it.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to find out tonight.
Julie is one of our listeners, and she gave it 5 stars. So that's good.
Very cool. Very cool. Before we get to emails, also, we have a new Patreon.
Yeah. Speaking of listeners, we have a new supporter, and it's a new supporter on Patreon, and his name, I don't know his first name, do I? It's just, it's K Treichel, T-R-E-I-C-H-E-L, Treichel, I'm going to say. K Treichel, thank you for your support, man. Thanks for listening, and everybody else who enjoys the show, I mean, there's a couple things you can do to help us out. If you like the show, you find that you like some of the apps, or you like listening to us, you know, talk about stuff sometimes. For one, tell some other people. For first thing, tell other people, like, hey, I see you've got an Android there. I mean, a lot of people don't use enough of their phone, and a lot of people sit there and all they use their phone is for phone and Facebook, but there's so many other things that they could be doing with their phone, like productive or more fun than Facebook. So tell them, hey, you know, check out this show. Or if you hear somebody listening to another podcast, then it's a no-brainer. Hey, have you ever heard of this podcast? So, yeah. Oh, no, I've only listened to Joe Rogan. Like, okay, we'll try this one, too. So tell people about it. But then the other things are, I guess there's two other things. Patreon is the best way to give support straight to the show. And that helps us stay on the air every week, or most of every week. Helps us keep our equipment better than a lot of the other shows, so that we can sound decent and we're not too quiet or too loud, or if we are, tell us, and it'll give us the opportunity to change, to make things better. And then also, one third way you can help support the show is at podnuts.com/Amazon. Make all your summer purchases with that link, and it will make no difference to your purchase, your price, or anything like that, but then Podnuts will receive a little bit off the top for each purchase, so that helps too.
Yeah, and there's one thing I want to say really quick. For those who like apps that they hear on the show, here's a feature you might not have known of. If you're listening on Podcast Addict, and that's my current app, and I know other apps do this, but when you're listening to Podcast Addict, if you go to the player page in Podcast Addict and you pause it at a certain spot, like 2 hours into it or an hour, 15 minutes into it, hit the 3 dots up on the top right-hand side. There's a share feature right there, and if you hit that, you can then share the position in the episode. What this does is it creates a unique web link that you can send anywhere, that in a browser, if you click the link, you will be transported right to that second and minute in that podcast. So hypothetically, you know somebody who needs a new X app, like a new Chromecast app. You don't have to tell them to listen to the first 10 minutes of me and Eric talking about my kid. You can send them a deep link that starts off as soon as we start talking about the app, right there into the show. So that's a good way to share pieces of a show to other people.
You could also use that for a simple way to share podcasts with someone else. You know, if you're like, oh, I think you'd like this podcast, you could share them the very first second of it. You know, and then they could, you know, yeah, rather than, and is that a web player that they can play it off of from that, right? Yeah, so yeah. They don't even have to, you don't have to go through the, oh, well, here, let me install Podcast Addict or you know, Castback on your phone for you. And then they got this icon that they can't remember what you did and why you put that thing on their phone or whatever. It just makes it really simple. Yeah, that's a great tip, Dor. You have shared parts of other podcasts with me that way, and it works really well on the receiving end. Yes.
Well, I'll say this: for every one I share with somebody, there's 100 of them I share with myself, because I'm listening to a podcast. Somebody says something either really smart, and there I'm going to say really smart, really inspirational, really insightful, or something I want to test when I get to a computer or play with when I get to a computer. I will rewind the show and share that link and send it to myself in email. So whenever I get to a desk or a computer, I can just click the link right there in the browser. It starts playing.
Yeah, Dor, that's genius. I mean, that's a great idea. I don't know why I don't take advantage of that. Wow, yes. There's a lot of times
I'm
like, man, I wonder what episode that was I was listening to. And but yeah, no, that's very, very smart, Dor. See, Dora takes advantage of the technology that's out there to its full potential.
I abuse the crap out of it. This is why I also, on heavy weeks, I send feedback to like 10 plus podcasts.
Nice. Okay, I'm gonna bring a kind of a game app, and this one is called Coach Bus Simulator. A good simulator game, right? This is similar to some of the other games that we've brought to the show before, where it's basically you have to do a job as a bus driver, and you just gotta be really good at getting to another spot, picking people up, dropping people off, and driving the bus without totally crashing all the time.
Okay, so this is Coach Bus Simulator, because the link you put in was to like all the company's apps, I think.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm sorry. Let me
try this again. Yeah. So Coach Bus Simulator literally looks like you're in charge of a mammoth bus. You pull into special spots. You wait for people to load, and then like you go to Atlanta.
Yeah, kind of like Crazy Taxi and Goat Simulator put together, because it does have some weird physics and glitches that you would expect from Goat Simulator.
And okay, never mind. I thought the wrong tires were turning for a second. It really confused
me. I almost think that people might go out of their way to put glitches in to be more like Goat Simulator now.
Well, is the purpose to be safe?
I don't think so. I don't think I was really that safe driving.
Okay, because literally, Eric, I was sitting here the other day thinking, because I do remember the car simulator that we brought weeks ago. And I was literally tempted to tell my kid, I want to see you seriously, like, quote unquote, play this without acting stupid. I want you to show me how mature you are. I want you to play this like it's real life.
You could try. I mean, I don't know. The Xbox was one I always wanted to try, that because you actually got the steering wheel and you can buy the steering wheel and brake and gas pedal set, you know, for and I always thought, you know, try to be serious like in Grand Theft Auto or something at some point.
Well, yeah, this is, if you remember, oh man, I can't remember what it's called. It's the game that was literally made because Penn Teller, Penn Jillette, talked it up. It's called like Desert Bus. Desert Bus, where he said, I want a game that is literally just you driving from Reno to Vegas, because it's literally just a straight road. Yep. But I want the bus to not be perfectly straight. I want it to always slowly veer off.
I didn't realize he had something to do with that. Oh, that game. Yes. I've played that game. Yes. I know. Oh,
right. So then for every mile, you get like 1 point, I think.
Yeah.
It's something really low like that. And it's real time. So it's literally like a 10-hour trip that takes 10 hours to do. And they literally have people do, I want to say they're called like runs, rallies, whatever, at places to raise money. How many hours can I play this game without crashing?
Oh, yeah, I hated that game. We couldn't have talked about this on the show before, because I would have remembered that Penn Jillette had something to do with that. I just thought it was like this game. I didn't realize there was a whole backstory to Desert Bus.
Oh, there is. And it looks horrible too. And it literally looks like 16-bit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Desert. Well, at least the first
Desert. Because I think we brought it and I kind of talked about Sammy, you know, when we brought it to the show, you know how he might feel back then, one of our listeners.
Gotcha. Well, I hope this is, I don't want to say equally boring, but I honestly hope this is a little bit mundane, because I want to show my son, who's now, you know, 5 years away from driving. God, what? 5 years away from driving. Can you hear that? That's me aging prematurely.
Dora, I feel you, man. Guess what happened yesterday?
I know you're.
Yesterday was my son's last day of driver's ed for the year, for his life. Yesterday was his last day. He has a permit. He's driven I don't even want to say how many cars we got. He's driven two of our vehicles.
Right. Well, because I keep wanting to ask my son, show me how you can handle boring. Because really, that's the ultimate test of driving.
Mm-hmm.
How are you when it's really boring on the road?
Do you
still drive as safe as
you can?
What
do you do? So I drop my seat as low as it can go, kick it way back. Like, well, I just drove to Omaha, Nebraska 3 weeks ago. So I know how boring gets. If you've ever driven
I never do
through
that.
Iowa, you know, it's,
Oh yeah, I've never done that. I am, see, in raw realistic terms, I have a very short upper body. No, I have a very long upper body, very short arms, very short legs. So if anybody gets in the driver's seat after me, they literally make the sound because they're so crunched against the wheel, kind of thing. They're so close to the wheel. So even when I'm on a long, mundane street road, I try my best to have two hands on the wheel, face it forward, pay attention, don't play with the radio, blah, 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 blah. Just like exactly the same as when I'm in traffic, heavy traffic. I try to be the same.
The thing I like, and I really enjoy having my hands on the steering wheel, both hands on the steering wheel, but both of my elbows supported by some sort of a armrest on both sides. And in every vehicle I have, that doesn't happen unless you've got the seat like way down low or you got to manipulate the car that you're not my shape to get both armrests into play. So that's how I roll on the long stuff.
Gotcha. Well, okay, this was again Coach Bus Simulator. How do you pronounce that developer?
OVD. Oh my gosh. OVD. D-we? Oh. Oh. Avidu. It's OVIDIU Pop. Avidu Pop. And I also.
Avidua. Pop. Sure.
You know what? It's a UID Evo, if you spell it backwards. It's probably easier to pronounce that way.
Yeah. It's from a top developer, so that's what.
And matters. I did put in the chat here for the people who are live the Desert Bus link too, and that's by Amateur Pixels. If you want to check out the Desert Bus app that Dor was talking about there.
Oh man, this Coach Bus Simulator, completely free, does have in-app purchases. Top developer, 22,000 reviews, 4 out of 5 stars. So somebody out there is very satisfied with their butt. With their bus simulation.
The one thing that was odd in controlling this, you actually have to shift it into reverse. It's not hold down brake. You know, usually almost everything else is hold down the brake to go backwards. You actually have to shift it into reverse.
Well, it's a simulator. I would hope it would be at least different. Yeah, it looks just nerdy enough.
Yeah, throw it on your JXD.
All right. Okay, what I'm going to bring next... I'm still not convinced on whether or not I'm going to buy it. I literally might buy it just to support the developer, and I'm saying that very honestly. I don't know if I'm going to buy it, even though I got plenty of money now in the Google Play account, especially for my son. I'm trying to adhere to that. That's what I'm saying to myself, at least. This is FL Studio Mobile, Fruity Loops FL. It's been around for a long time. By Image-Line, E for Everyone, $16.49 to buy, and has extra in-app purchases. Okay, for an app to be $16 and yet still have 8,000 reviews, that's saying something. It has between 100 and 500,000 installs. It's nearly $20, and it has in between 100 and 500,000 installs. That is not normal. That's really good. So to me, that puts a little bit more credibility on the app. I was literally thinking about buying it just to support the company, because I know FL Studios, or Fruity Loops, has really came a long way, and they've been around for at least a little while, and they've tried to make a broad range of apps on a whole bunch of different platforms.
Yeah, I've got FL Studio on my desktop, and it even says in here that FL Studio is installed like 30,000 times a day on the desktop by people.
Right.
It is, or I don't know, it was the app for making music. You just make a loop of your snare drum, you make a loop of your bass background, and you throw some stuff on top of it, and you can make all kinds of songs. On the desktop version, and that's probably where a lot of the in-app purchases comes. You probably get effects packs and instrument packs where it comes with all these other, instruments and different loops already made up for you.
Right. I know the main reason, to be honest, I'm even tempted to buy this to support the company, yes, 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 but literally to put it on my kid's tablet just to see if he ever opens up and develops a interest, because... While he said in his yearbook he wants to be a software developer, I don't know about you, Eric, but when I was a child, what I wanted to be was not what I ended up being.
Me too.
Okay. So all I want to do is keep his interest. If he finds something, I want to have stuff there already ready for him to pick up and play with. Yeah. You know what I mean? Wow. If you go to 1 minute and 50 seconds in this video, they list all the features in the video on a page. This is a 3 minute and 16 second video in this Play Store, which, let me tell you something, every video we seem to look at, Eric, is like 30 seconds or maybe a minute. So for these people to have a 3 minute video actually shows not only do they take music production seriously, but they take their presentation video of their product pretty seriously.
Yeah, if somebody wanted, you know, to do some quick and dirty like Fiverr.com work or something, just to make a jingle for their local furniture store, you know, this would probably give you the power to get little things like that done, you know, or add a little, you know, fun music to the beginning and end of your own videos, you know, something that you're in, you know, you call your own.
Right. Yeah, it could be very cool. So I might end up buying this one, but I'm not sure. And I don't remember, we actually might have brought this to the show a long time ago, but I'm telling people, a $16 app to have that many installs, that many reviews, is extremely uncommon. So I think these guys are doing the right stuff, and, you know, they're doing a very good product. So I just wanted to mention.
Yeah, cool. I had no idea that FL Studio was available on Android. Thanks for letting me know. I'm going to bring, I've got an app here that's basically, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a news aggregator, but it kind of is just for videos and increasing your education. It's called Curiosity.com, and it's the official app for Curiosity.com. And basically, like I pulled it up earlier today. I've had it on my phone for quite a while. I just have never really gotten into it a whole lot. But every time I go to it, the interface is presented so well. I don't know why I don't use it more often. But it was like showing me some kind of today's thing. It was kind of showing me some sustainable living villages that are being made somewhere in Europe or something. And the video was kind of goes into that. And it's always something different.
Huh.
I don't know if there's a... Yeah, there is.
Okay, so if I had to describe this to the Utes out there, I would literally call this, Eric, almost a cross between infographs, because there's a lot of textual data, too. But the videos are very crash course. I want to say educational. I'll say in a formative, I think, is a more accurate statement. They're really just spreading information, sometimes for education, sometimes for
news, you even. Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah. There's five, I'll just flip through it. So the Regen Village, that's the thing I was talking about. It's mm-hmm. going to be built in Amsterdam in 2017. Teaches you all about that, where they're growing all this food and stuff. It's totally self-sustaining. There's another one called The Walls in Vincent Van Gogh's Iconic Bedroom in Arles Were Not Originally Blue. Your Brain Doesn't Speed Up in Emergencies is another video.
Oh, okay.
You make around 200 decisions about food every day. Most people are conscious of less than 15% of them.
Sure.
Legios is a 1970s-era satellite that looks like a giant disco ball, and it helps... looks like it helps science study the Earth's orbit, examines gravitational fields, and learn more about plate tectonics. And they got a nice picture of it. It's sort of the dig of little educational videos, but the interface is just so nice. It's kind of what was that, Flipboard? Flipboard-ish, I guess, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing come to mind is, like, this is like Imgur serious. You know what I mean? If you're not looking for pictures of cats.
Yeah.
Or like memes about D&D. I really do like this. I think this is a great find. This thing's getting installed, man.
Cool. And there's a little thing you can flip up from the bottom that kind of shows what other people are checking out on here.
Mm-hmm. Like what's hot, what's trending.
It's done like with a little graph at the bottom where you have like a link, a little line that goes down to the item, and then a number of people have checked it out. Goes up and makes a graph.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah. Curiosity from Curiosity Education, Curiosity.com. So I'm pretty sure their website's probably just as useful. Maybe not as pretty. 6,000 plus reviews, 4.5 stars, what it looks like, 4.4 stars. Only 100 between 100 and 500,000 installs. I think this should have a hell of a lot more than that, you know, because this is good.
You know, sometimes when I'm in this room podcasting, I yawn, right? And I just learned on here that yawning is most common when the air is around 68 degrees because it may be a way to cool your brain. So that's probably what's going on. It's not that I get bored when I'm podcasting with you guys.
I do think I yawn when it's cooler. I'll definitely agree with that. Very cool. This is a keeper here.
Cool.
Oh, and now just for a quick tangent. Speaking of Link, people who know me know. People know me know. Every couple weeks, at least, I say to myself, you know, I could start up a new podcast about this, or, you know, maybe I should do a podcast about that. I could see doing a podcast about this, and just it happens all the time. But the other day, I saw a video from E3, Electronic Expo Entertainment thingy. It was the next Zelda game, Legend of Zelda, Breath of Fire, Freedom, something. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. And I showed it to my kids. Eric.
That's a new one coming out? A new Zelda?
It's coming out. I don't know what system it's for. It might be for the next generation Nintendo console, not for this one. And I'm sitting here thinking, I could see literally playing the game and then weekly hanging with my kids, chatting about the game. Just seeing what they learned about it, see what they liked about it, see what they figured out about it.
I'll tell you what, gaming video YouTube channel is a thing.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I could see myself, unfortunately, devoting way too many hours to playing it.
Yeah, but you're with your kids, so then it's justified.
Well, and it's Nintendo, which means no, you cannot do streams about it.
Legally, you can't?
You can't do anything with Nintendo. Eric, we did a 30-second video of a Nintendo Android app. Before I hit stop streaming on YouTube, I already had 2 takedown notices from Nintendo.
Wow.
Okay, so no, you really can't stream games about Nintendo unless you've been giving pre-authority from them to do so.
Sounds like you need to take a trip to Tokyo.
Or just, I don't know. I can't boycott Nintendo. I like them too much.
Zelda would be a good reason to go to Tokyo.
I don't know. I'm sorry, that was a quick tangent I had to take.
So you don't know if you're going to have the console that it's coming out on, for one.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sure your kids would be into it, though. They want to be like Dad.
They can be. I know if I show an interest, it's more likely they'll actually show an interest, too. You know.
So was this game that you saw, was it all 3D-ish and looked totally 2016? Or did it kind of give you memories of Zelda at all?
Well, it's Nintendo, so it's never going to look completely modern. The graphics were not realistic. They were pseudo-realistic kind of thing. Definitely cartoonish a little bit, but individual blades of grass going, animals seem to behave okay normally. The verse seemed ridiculously expansive. It showed them jumping off a cliff, pulling out like a mini hang glider, and just going and going. It showed him being able to climb nearly anything, so literally like the face of a mountain, you can just walk up to it and start to climb. Supposedly, nearly any place or any place you can see, you can basically start walking in that direction and get there.
That's today's games. I think Grand Theft Auto started that for us. Actually, I think Motocross Madness had boundaries too, though. But that was the first. I think Motocross Madness on the PC was the first one where I could actually just had a direction and just keep going for a while. And
yeah, that was one of their goals, I know, to have a game with zero invisible walls.
Until you reached one, and then it was like a shotgun blasted you back, you know, 800 yards.
Well, that's the thing. The real question is, well, how are they going to stop it? What's going to happen when you walk too far? Or is it going to be literally one of those things?
It should be like a globe where you get to the other side and you just start over. Kind of like Pac-Man goes in one side and comes out the other side.
Or is it all going to be a lie where you walk for 16 hours, and then when you turn around, it only takes you 2 hours to walk back because 14 of those hours were just you literally walking nowhere because you couldn't tell. I mean, I don't know. Huh. But, you know, there's only a couple things that can really capture my attention besides Star Wars, and unfortunately, Legend of Zelda is one of those things.
Yeah, it could be worse things, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, much worse things, like narcotics. See,
that came out on the Nintendo, right? The NES?
Yeah.
I never owned one of those, so that there's a whole era where I missed video games. I think that was about the same time I started driving, and I had no use to sit inside of a house. and do anything. So that's, I missed a whole section there. Mike Tyson's punch out. I missed all that. I did have that later, you know, when I got my first apartment, we had an extra oven for whatever reason in the apartment. So if you open the oven door, there was the Nintendo and there was a TV that sat up on the stove part.
Why not?
And Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was the only game I think we had for it.
I thought it would have been Burger Time or something, you know, cooking related maybe.
Yeah, that would have made sense. Yeah. I just remember Soda Popinski, man. That name just pops into my head. Mr. Sandman.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum. All right, Dor. Oh, that was...
That's
was
right.
That? No, it's your turn. Yeah.
Oh, it is my turn. Okay. I'm going to bring another pay app, and it's only pay, and I'm never buying it, but I definitely think there's an audience for it out there. There are definitely people out there that like to camp, like to hike, like to go out onto quote-unquote uncharted territories kind of thing, where, of course, it's really charted, just not built up. And I was listening to one of my buddies, our buddies Josh, up in Canada, Canduadia, going on hikes and going on all these kind of expeditions, basically, out and about. And this app caught my eye. It is a $12 app.
Wow.
$11.99. It's called Backcountry Navigator, TOPO GPS, by Critter Map Software, E for Everyone. Top developer, 5,400 reviews, 4.5 rating. This is like what someone in the city has for navigation, but for places that don't have roads, is the best way I can put it. It can tell you your surroundings. It can tell you quicker routes, safer routes when you're trying to get, you know, to places like there is no roads. Can give you satellite views, can give you map views, can give you topographical views so you know what's a uphill, what's a downhill kind of thing. I just thought this was a really well-presented app that people who like to hike and climb and, you know, do that kind of stuff will just find actually pretty useful. You know, the other one was Hunters. And I'll say, I don't even own a gun, but it seems like most of the friends I have, most of the people I associate with and I find to be the coolest people, all seem to be hunters in one shape, way, or form. And this is the kind of app where I showed two of them and they were both like, this is really cool. I'm not sure it's worth $12, but it looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks very well put together. I would say, I mean, even if you're a hiker, some hikers want to go for the, you know, just to go somewhere they've never seen before and hopefully not too many other people have seen before. But I think this is a good app if you've got like a parent who is into that or a friend who's into that. As a good gift to buy them this app and just have it on their phone in case they get lost while they're having their expedition and having their fun. This could save their life or help them at least find their way back to civilization. Because I don't know, I've been hiking and I've been lost, and it's not a good feeling. Even if you know that you're pretty much surrounded by a state park or something. I mean, I wasn't out in the wilderness, but I was to a point where I really didn't know which way I needed to go to get back to anything. And that's a bad feeling. Maybe some people really like that part. But I ended up using my phone to, and the GPS on my phone, which I just used a rudimentary map app to kind of find it, but it worked. But I think this would be really good if you're out in the even way more remote areas. Yeah, because it could at least tell you if you're going to continue and you think you're getting back to civilization, but you're actually walking 3 miles in that direction, you're just going to run into a mountain. You might not be able to quite tell that now, but that's not going to help you. Or there's going to be a huge river straight ahead that you can't see here, and if you keep walking that way, you're not going to get across that, and it's definitely not the way you want to go.
Right, and I'll say it looks like a U.S.-focused app, so other countries... You know, buyer beware. I'm not sure how much support they have. It also has the ability, I'll say, of course, almost obnoxiously, of course, you have the ability to download maps offline to use them, because a lot of these places, you're not going to get a signal. And for the people who really question and laugh at and think the magnetometer in a Android device is really bad as a compass, I will tell you, part of the reason why the Android phones don't act great as a compass is because you're looking at it when you're in your house, by your TV, by your microwave oven, by your Wi-Fi antenna, by other things that can influence it. When you're out in the middle of fields, you look at your Android compass. I can tell you now, it's pretty dang good.
You know, and I like it. It's got an Android Wear feature, so if you have a watch, you can look at your GPS coordinates and different things on your watch too with this app. I don't think it's overpriced. I mean, the people who are into hiking and biking and into these kind of sports, they're used to spending some money because they've got the gear. Right. This is just one other small piece of gear, and $12 to these guys, I really don't think is absorbent. You know, I see the amount of money these guys spend before they go on their trips, and they're fine.
Right. Well, here's the thing that I figured out. Okay, they do have a quote unquote demo version for free, so you can download and see the map, see what you get out of it, see if it is something you want. So I'm gonna make sure that link is the link I'd link to in the notes. Okay. And in the show.
Nice. And it's last updated June 1st, so they're still supporting it really well.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Cool,
find.
Very cool.
Good apps today, Dor. Man, rocking.
Thank you.
Okay, my next app. Everybody's probably seen this except for me, because I'll explain in a second. And Dor, you're probably gonna hate this one, but this is the Starbucks app. Yeah. So, okay. I went to a meeting the other day. Well, okay, so anyway, when I was out in Nebraska a couple weeks ago, I volunteered, and I didn't realize I was going to get anything for volunteering. Usually, you know, the whole idea of volunteering is you do work for nothing. But when I got back, I got this email saying, "Hey, thanks for volunteering. Here's a $5 Starbucks card." I'm like, "Oh, good."
Oh, that's cool.
I have no Starbucks within an hour's drive of where I live.
Oh, Lord.
So I was at a conference Tuesday. No, it was this Tuesday. I was up in Chicago Tuesday at a conference, and I answered a couple of trivia questions and won a Starbucks gift card. So I'm like, oh, so now what? So during the conference, there was one part that didn't pertain to me at all. So I quickly installed the Starbucks app. I'm like, well, shoot, while I'm here, while I'm in an area that actually has a Starbucks, I might as well use these and get my lunch paid for, you know, at least part of it. Because when he handed me the card, it had nothing, it didn't tell me how much it was. So I ended up having to ask him, like, hey, what was on that card you gave me? He was like, $5. That might pay for the toppings on your coffee there, maybe. So anyway, the Starbucks app was nice. It easy to use. I could quickly enter the numbers off the email for the volunteer card, and I quickly set up an account. You know, all I needed was an email address. So I quickly set up an account. The Starbucks app and their cards are really easy to read and type in the numbers. They make it pretty painless to use. So, well, so I type.
They probably have to, because the people who want to use the app are like shaking and jittering because they haven't had their caffeine in time. So, you know, they have.
Yeah, that's possible. So I got those typed in, and the conference got over, and I used the app. It tells you where all the Starbucks are. The first one, but the bad thing is it doesn't really tell you what. I mean, I didn't realize Starbucks are like that prominent where they actually have them. The first one it navigated me to was a hospital. So all I can think of is inside the snack bar at that place, there must be a Starbucks at that hospital. But right. I'm like, I'm not going to go into a hospital and potentially get sick to drink free Starbucks. So I hit another one, and it was, I don't know, it was in the middle of a mall. I'm like, I'm not going to go into a mall either. So I drive around the corner, and I actually just saw one physically with my eyes, you know, like two blocks away. I'm like, oh, I'll just go to that one.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. In most places, in most Starbucks, if you walk out the door and just scan left and right, you'll see another Starbucks.
That's pretty close to what it was. So I went into this one, and I ordered a caramel macchiato, iced caramel macchiato. Is that one of your favorite store?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I figured you liked it. So I ordered that and a spicy Italian flatbread sandwich, and after my $10 worth of Starbucks coupons, it ended up costing me $2 cash. So I paid with the thing. It came up. He scanned my phone, and everything worked good.
That's cool.
And then, so it worked for me. And then the next day, it was later that day, it's like, hey, tips are still available if you'd like to leave a tip for your barista or whatever.
Nice.
Like, yeah, no, that's all right. I'm good. I probably won't be back to ever be there. And I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've heard good thing about this. I've heard very good things about this app. They like the fact that you can order it on the phone before you even get there.
I did see that.
You can pay on the phone. You don't have to worry about it. You can even order your scones warmed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But I'll just say this, Eric. I'm a particular fella. Okay, this is part of the reason why I liked Podnuts back in the day. Because it's family-friendly, belligerently almost. It wants to be family-friendly. Because why exclude people if you don't have to? If somebody sits there out there and says, I don't like Android app apps because there's not enough cussing, I don't think I want you as a listener anyway, okay?
Darn right.
But let me, exactly. But here's an example. When I was younger, I never liked Pink Floyd because somebody that belligerently supporting drugs of all magnitude, I thought there must be something a little bit immoral there. So I'm not even going to partake in their music. And that's just how I was when I was younger. When I went to New York City, I saw the Starbucks logo, because what you see right now in the Starbucks logo is just a little piece of it. You do understand that, right? If you take a look
it's
at
like
the logo.
Like some kind of crab queen or something?
You see the girl. You see the crown above her head. Do you know what the two things are
they
next
like
to her?
Crab legs, like pinchers.
They're her own legs.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And that made me say, even if I drank coffee, I'm not going to Starbucks ever again. Because that's not the image I want in my head when I'm drinking a cup of anything.
Stop looking at it, Dor.
Now,
I had no idea.
Now, I'll digress and say they're a big company with a lot of people who love them emphatically. And I know if I did like that hot caffeinated beverage or the cold caramel marcalacalacalacalo, then I would probably be using this app kind of thing, but I'm just not that guy.
I do like their coffee, and I do like their chai lattes. Those are good. That's the only things I've ever had. I figured, hey, it's somebody else's money. I'm going to get an iced macchiato with caramel in it.
Yeah.
But no.
What the hell does macchiato even mean?
I don't know. It was the only. Okay, here's how I picked that. It was the only thing big on the menu that said iced, and it was hot. So that's the thing. I had no idea. It was a lot of milk in it. It tastes like a chocolate shake, pretty much. I mean.
So what you're saying was iced was your trigger word?
Yes, I needed something cold at the point. Because I was also kind of stressed while I was there because my car, the fan motor went out like the week before. And so my air wouldn't blow out, right? So I went on Amazon, podnuts.com/Amazon, and ordered a new fan motor. Came in, put it in. Everything works. Great. I fixed my own car. Super duper. Easier than I thought it'd be. Well, I get up to Chicago, and every time I make a left-hand turn, my fan motor starts making this weird noise again, kind of like it was making before it went out. And then I heard this gurgle sound, and then all of a sudden water starts pouring in on my passenger floorboard.
Oh, no.
Okay. So I'm like, I've been around cars. I'm like, okay, so that means the condensation thing's plugged up, right? It's supposed to drip. All that water's supposed to go out on the outside of the car, not inside.
Okay, I'll go for that.
And so, during that, also that non-applicable speech that I sat through while I installed this Starbucks app, I also did a quick Google search to find out where that drain tube is and if I can reach it and fix that while I'm up there, or do I need to go to a mechanic? So I popped I popped the hood actually before I went into Starbucks, looked around under the hood, couldn't find it, and realized that it's only accessible from under the car. And I'm in a dress, pants, tie, shirt, like crawling in my car. So I went to a Sears at that mall where the one Starbucks was supposed to be located. I went to the Sears Auto Center. They're like, we'd have to look that up. We don't know. I'm like, dude, it's a piece of rubber underneath there. All you got to do is squeeze it a little bit and get it flowing again. It's not a big deal. I don't know. You're probably going to have to go to the dealer. Okay, fine. So I go over to the Cadillac dealer because it's Cadillac. I went to the Cadillac dealer. Well, all of our techs are on lunch right now, and it'd be probably 2 hours before we could get you in. I'm like, I'll just jack it up when I get home. That's fine. Whatever. So I'm driving home, and I go through this town called, what is it?
Intercourse.
I'm thinking Sandwich. No, was it Sandwich?
Oh, okay. Submarine.
Sycamore.
Sycamore,
okay. Illinois. I was driving through there, and there's this roadside repair shop with nothing going on. Big sign that says used tires out and two dudes just like hanging outside. And I see that they have a lift. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to turn around and go back there. So these two guys, I explain the whole situation. I'm like, dude, I could show you a picture on my phone of exactly what it looks like. This is what it is. You just need to get under there and do it. And so I talked him into, you know, lifting it up. He put it on his rack and lifted it up. And he's poking around with like a, you know, some kind of a metal bar trying to, and he's like, I don't see. He started cussing. You know, he's like, I don't see nothing. You know, but I'm like, okay, don't get mad at me. I'm just, and then all of a sudden, like 2 seconds after he says that, water just starts pouring out. I'm like, oh, you found it. He's like, yeah, because I'm a mechanic. I'm like, okay, sure, okay. Not because I told you exactly mechanic. What the problem was and where it was at, but you had the lift. Right. So you're good. You're a mechanic. I'm all for it. So he starts reaching up there again more, and then the whole rubber thing pops out and falls onto the ground, bounces around. I'm like, he picks it up. He's like, see, this is your problem. This thing's all, you know, it's a bunch of crap in there, you know, it's all gummed up. I'm like, yeah, can you put that back where you got it from? and then he's like trying to put it back up there. He's like, oh, it's hot because it's like right by the exhaust manifold on the back right. of it. I don't know. I don't know if he put it back or not. It wasn't laying on the ground. It wasn't in his hand when I pulled out. I noticed that their lift did a little bit of damage to the fender. They didn't really put it on the jack points of my car. You know, there's certain areas of the frame you're supposed to use when you lift a car. No, they just put it right on the plastic part of the rocker panel. That's fine. And I'm like, you know, he only charged me $20, so I guess you get what you pay for, but I see this problem coming back, and I'm probably going to have to buy the rubber piece that he just shoved up in there and melted to my exhaust manifold real quick so when I wasn't looking or whatever. So, and that was Best Auto Service in Sycamore. There okay, you go. So
that's an app. How? What?
What? A Starbucks. Oh wait. No. Yeah. It all started at Starbucks.
Oh, Starbucks. Okay. Now, really quick. 1 + 3, Eric.
Yes.
Did you see anything about it?
Okay. I don't know if you've ever watched the video podcast or High on Android.
No.
Oh gosh.
What did I tell you a little bit earlier, Eric? Okay. Go ahead.
So this is a. This is a Oriental guy with blonde hair, and he does YouTube videos. It's called High on Android. He did this video just berating the thing, the poor little new phone that he's never even touched, and how much worse it would be than a Galaxy S7, and you should save $200 more and buy that instead. And you know, I didn't agree with a lot of the stuff he said. He was so concerned about it not having a 4K screen. He's like, why would they put 6 gigs of RAM in it when it doesn't even have a 4K screen?
Well, one has nothing to do with the other. That's like saying, you know, why would they put the gas tank on the right-hand side when it's clearly a 6-seating car? What the hell does that
mean? I know. So.
Okay, so note to self, you never listen to and do not listen to High on Android. Okay, next
guy. And I don't feel bad calling him an Asian guy with blonde hair, because at the beginning of his video he says, "Hey, this is High on Android, and I'm an Asian guy with blonde hair." So that's cool.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
Hi. My name is Dorth Thor Geek. I'm an Irish Mick with gray hair.
Yeah, but what the hell does that have to do with anything? Your gray is natural. He made his blonde. Anyway.
Oh my goodness. Okay, keep.
So
going.
Then he put up a rebuttal video. 5 reasons you should buy that phone, because he got so much hate mail from the first video that
he's a politician from the US that whenever people scream loud enough, he just changes his opinion.
I watched the very first point of the 5, and it was it was, if you want to be a cheapskate, basically that's one reason you should buy the yeah. If you have no, okay. if you make $1 okay, an hour okay. and you can't afford the $200 okay. more.
We're now done talking about him because he's an idiot. And guess, idiot, if you want to email me, it's mail@podnos.com, idiot. And I'll be happy to have you on my show and tell you just how much of an idiot you
are. Okay. So.
Now, I'll say I listened to another podcast where the guy who's supposed to be their nerd, their guy who understands all the tech, said, I don't understand why they would put 6 gigs of RAM in an Android device. Everything else I hear on this show, the people sound pretty smart. But he literally said that. I rewound it like 10 times. I sent it as to myself as a Podcast Addict thing just so I could hear it again later. He obviously does not understand how Java works, because that's what Android is. It's Java. And even if it isn't Java, it emulates Java. So it is Java. Everything is emulated in Java. Everything is emulated in Java. Everything in Java is emulated, which means it's all stored in RAM. I/O is emulated. All the hardware devices are emulated. All the connections are emulated. Every app is put into RAM. Everything is put into RAM. So RAM equates to experience. Okay, this is like saying, why would you have a top of the line NVIDIA card? Well, I don't understand, when you're just playing games. Well, isn't that the point of playing games?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the OnePlus One is the phone I have. It's now over 2 years old, I believe. The reason why it's still very competitive is because it has 3 gigs of RAM, when no phone came with 3 gigs of RAM. Yeah. This has 6 gigs of RAM. What that means is you're going to be able to, at any point in time, turn on your phone, hit the little menu button, and you'll be able to go back in time on your apps for days and days, and then just click one of the apps, and it will instantaneously load at the exact spot it left off. Because that's what RAM does in Android. Sorry, that was my game. So the part that it has 6 gigs of RAM is, to me, the reason to buy the phone.
I totally agree.
Okay, now my other browser over here that we're streaming with decided to go boom. So I'm refreshing that browser really quick, Eric. So let's just talk meaningless, pointless things while this video comes back up for the people, so they can actually watch us through the show and not miss any important context. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, the 6 gig of RAM is... If anything was missing out of the phone that I have, and it's because it doesn't have 3 gigs, it only has 2 gigs of RAM, I think. I don't even remember how much RAM this phone has.
Well, yeah, and then here's the other thing. The only reason to have a 4K screen right now is so you can get that little check mark, like back in the day on antivirus software in a Windows store, you wanted to get a checkbox on your thing that said you could do Android VR. That's really the only reason to have a 4K screen. Here's the thing. Every podcast I listen to, every person on the podcast says it has a 1080p screen, and I'm really okay with that. I really have a hard time telling the difference between that and a 4K screen. And that's from the journalist people saying
If you're not doing VR, you're not going to notice the difference. And how much battery life are you saving by not firing up 4 times as many pixels?
Ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. Okay, that's the real reason to not have 4K, because you have a 3,000 milliamp battery, a 5.5-inch 1080p screen with 6 gigs of RAM. This phone is going to manhandle a day. You're going to get a day's usage off of this phone, even if you pound the living crap out of this phone, okay? The only thing I don't like about the phone is I think it has the worst type of fingerprint reader ever imaginable. Because A, it takes up front real estate, and B, it is the horrible Samsung-esque swipe fingerprint reader, which I don't know anybody who likes
it. I didn't mind it.
All of the fingerprint readers on the back of the phones, everybody I know says they work wonderfully, marvelously. My hand's already there. With the other one, you have to stop what you're doing, you pick your phone up, turn your hand around, and do one of these, and then you got to do it typically 2 or 3 times.
Now, okay. I didn't have too much problems with my Note 4 fingerprint reader. I gotta say, the Nexus fingerprint reader works super. I mean, there's no problems ever. I don't know if I would rather have it on the front, though, honestly, Dor, because when you've got it in your car and the screen dims, you have to reach around your harness or your magnet or whatever you got it into and try to get on there. Where if it was just on the front, you just tap it. I don't like the swipe as much. I like the tap and work. I'm surprised that it's not that you actually have to swipe it on that. I didn't realize that.
Well, me, I'll say this. Here's why I really don't care. Because I'm never going to use my fingerprint to unlock my phone. Because anybody who understands how to spell the word security, Anybody who understands how to spell the word security knows a fingerprint reader, a fingerprint is not a password. It is a type of identification. That's why the police can force you to put your fingerprint on something to unlock it, because it's not a password, it's a form of identification. Two completely different things. I would like to use my fingerprint reader to unlock LastPass or unlock an app, but not to unlock my device.
Oh, well, I get, okay.
And I know. That makes me
No, scared. That's okay. That's okay. I would use a four, I've got my choice every time I turn my phone on if I want to use a four-digit PIN or my fingerprint. I could turn the fingerprint off for that. LastPass. I love using a fingerprint reader with LastPass, because then I don't have to leave it wide open. If my phone gets stolen or something, they're not getting into it unless they have a gummy bear stamp of my fingerprint.
Right.
Or they're the police and they have my fingerprint from that one night. But other than that, it's a...
Right. Right. Well, and I'll say this, Eric, really quick. There is no SD card slot. A lot of people are downing it also because of that. I really don't care about that either. It's one of those niceties. You know, it's like pinstriping on a car. It's not going to really help the performance any. It's just a nicety to have, in my opinion. And it's only 7.4 millimeters thick, which literally makes this one of the thinner phones, period. I don't want to say ever because I don't want to sound pompous, but I'm pretty sure it's one of the thinnest phones, period. There is some question, though. Here's the thing. There's one guy, Ted Fisher. I don't even know if he listens to this show. If he does, man, I got to thank him. He has educated me so much, but literally I'm an idiot, so I forget a lot of what he educates me on. And then he reminds me again when the next phone comes out. There is going to be questionable support on American networks with this phone, whether or not you're going to be able to have voice over LTE, Volt, V-O-L-T-E, and there was something else he said it's questionable whether or not you're going to have support for. I literally use my phone as a phone, Eric, 2 minutes every 6 months. The only time I ever use my phone as a phone is when I'm at a conference and I call my wife and I call my kids and I say, good night, go to bed. I love you. That's really the only time I ever use my phone as a phone. So that's not really a big deal to me. One of the stupid things I actually like is it actually has a dual SIM. Now, if I hypothetically used like Project Fi or something as a backup network, or Verizon as a voice only network, I could then use T-Mobile as my data network. I mean, technically, so I like the options of a dual SIM. I don't really know how many people would really care about that. The biggest
dual SIM, does that allow you to use CDMA and GSM networks then? Is that what?
I'm sure the GSM network is there. It is there, but I really don't know what that's going to mean as far as U.S. support.
Because that's...
I'm only going to use T-Mobile initially, and if I do, there's no way I can ever use Verizon. That's just okay.
T-Mobile's GSM, right? Remember? Because I think this phone, has the two radios, one SIM for the Project Fi, where I know U.S. Cellular CDMA, and I think T-Mobile or Sprint, they're GSM, but I could be totally wrong on that. I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but...
Honestly, you might be right. I never get it right. Here's the two things I'll say. It's a Type-C connector. I hope it's a really real
Type-C connector. I like Type-C. I do like that.
Supposedly, they are announcing new Nexi, hopefully, here pretty soon. So one reason to not get this phone is to hold out and see what that's going to be, because the real difference between a Nexus and everything else, including this phone, is going to fall in the everything else camp, this OnePlus 3, is the Nexus gets constant updates and security updates. No other phone. You basically don't tell me, well, I have a Samsung S7 and I got an update last month. Well, yes, but you only get like three updates the entire life of the phone. Okay, yeah, you don't get updates.
Got an update yesterday on my phone. And it happens.
Oh yeah, you get them every month. It's supposed to be every month, but I think they stretched it out to like 45 days or something. Maybe. Where it's not every month exactly, but whatever. It's still matter what, you get updates.
It was called the June security update. Okay.
It is using a Qualcomm Snapdragon 820.
Yeah,
that's quad core processor, 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of internal space. I mean, I'm not doing anything.
Dor,
I know me.
The way I see this with you, Dor, you abuse Android phones. Okay, you are not the average user. You you probably couldn't function without one of the better phones, but just the things you do with it. And the first one you bought from this company has lasted you over 2 years, where there's these people who do nothing but Facebook have to get a new iPhone every year. If that phone lasted, if that phone lasted you 2 years, I would have to bet that this phone's going to do the same. 6 gigs of RAM is going to be plenty for, I can't see 2 years from now the phone's coming out with 12 gigs of RAM and you need every bit of the 12 gigs. I don't see that.
I don't know. Okay. It does have NFC, which they went away from. Now they're going back to, which to me is another one of those nicety pluses. But here's the thing. It's all of these things and it's less than $400. Okay. And there's no waiting period. There's no invitation period. There's no special random drawing period. It's just, you go order the phone and when it's available, you get it.
Do you think it'll stay? Will it go up in price? You know, is it an initial?
Honestly, price? No. To me, honestly, there's no reason for it to go up in price. And if it does, maybe $20, maybe $50. But if anything, it's going to go down.
Okay. So there's no spiff or incentive to be an early adopter of this.
They didn't insinuate that I thought of that this was a sale and then the price is going to go up. But even if the price goes up $50, I'm okay. But I know me. I'm going to wait at least 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And I know people who've heard me say that in the past are right now screaming, calling me a liar. But I'm literally going to wait at least 3-4 weeks because right now I got the honeymoon infatuation thing going on. Let me wait a little bit. And I'm going to try to wait for the announcements of the next Nexuses, because if Huawei does another Nexus device phone, yeah, I might go for that one instead, because two people I know who are smarter than me said they do believe the next Nexus phone is going to have 6 gigs of RAM. Oh.
So this honeymoon thing you're talking about, does that mean you're totally infatuated with this phone? You want to hit...
It can do no wrong.
Huh? You want it...
It can do no wrong. Okay.
Yeah, it can do no wrong right now. You want to hit the button now.
Yeah.
Because you're in love with it already. And I don't remember. I think it was Engadget or Verge. I did watch a video of a hands-on with it after a week, and the guy was commenting how the fit and finish was really nice, how light it was, and how he had the OnePlus 2, and he really didn't like the case that was built in. You know, the metal had weird ridges on the sides, and this is smooth and stuff. It's almost like, you know, this one's almost like a phone you don't want to put in a case. You know what I mean? It's kind of a nice, nice looking thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I want to buy it dinner. I want to give it a back rub.
Aww.
I want to show how much I care. But right now, it just needs to stay away from me because it's going to, you know, because I know me, so I'm not going to do anything right now. Hopefully the next Nexuses get announced here in the next couple weeks, maybe a month. And then, you know. We'll see.
All right, Dor. So, listeners, the rich listener, I know there's at least 1 or 2 millionaires who listen to the show.
No.
Make Dor's wedding dreams come true between now and the next show.
No.
All right, don't do that. You can always buy me the Nexus, though, when it comes out with 6 gigs. And then we can go head to head. Dor and I can start talking crap about each other's new ride. Mm-hmm. Dor, do you want? You got anything in your tank? We're running a little long. Do you want to empty the tank, or want to save them for next week?
No, we already brought.
And then we can do the full review of your new phone next week too, with the rest of your apps.
I'm not getting it that soon.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for hanging in there and sticking out with another show. I don't see how you guys do it, but you keep doing it.
Thanks, Eric. That's not what you're supposed to tell people. You're supposed to tell people, thank you for your support. Thank you for everyone going to Patreon. If you want to get in contact with us, 7076podnut, or send us an email at aaa@podnuts.com.
What he said. Have a good night. Talk to you later.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.